Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Emerging Enterprise Radio, featuring high growth companies and their trusted advisors.
Well, good Friday afternoon, everybody. You're used to hearing our producer Kevin intro the show, but this is Van on Emerging Enterprises Radio. And Kevin, if you're listening, hope you're feeling better, buddy. Yeah. We've all known you needed work for a while. So whatever you're getting done today, hope you're recovering.
I got you covered, Kevin. We're
nicely.
Doing good.
We do. So welcome in, everybody. Taylor, hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm excited to be back this week.
Yeah, the usual suspects are
yes,
in the room.
Yes, of course.
And then we're stoked to have our guest, Scott Tanksley, join us. How you doing, Scott?
Good. Thanks, guys.
You look so comfortable over there in your headset behind the mic.
In his pajamas. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Yeah. So have you done this before? Radio?
I have not.
Okay. Neither have we. So we'll figure this out together. I'm kidding. So, well, listen, for those of you who have never listened in before, Relational Equity is our company, and we love hosting companies that have a bent, have something in their ethos about doing social good with their company. So social entrepreneurship, social enterprise, social good, and Atlanta to us is a little bit of an incubator for those kind of companies. And you, Scott, and your company, I knew I was going to get it wrong the first time.
The first time.
Authenticity.
Yes.
I want to try and put too many words
mash
in there.
Mashup. Authentic
You're so excited.
And community.
It's just rolling off.
I am so excited.
It's a mashup.
There you authentic.
Go. I didn't know
community,
that.
So. Authenticity.
There we go.
And I'm going to dive into that. But I wanted to welcome you to the show. And can you just tell our listeners a little bit about you personally? And then we'll roll into your company.
A little bit about me personally. So we'll start with today. Today was donuts with dad at my son's school.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
No
smell
lunch
your
yet.
Heart.
All I've had is sugar and coffee.
There's some candy there for
and
a snack,
first
too.
Time on the radio, I'd like to have access to a laugh track if I could. I have
I
no
keep
idea.
Telling Gavin to get a sound up.
No idea what might happen. But
that is hilarious.
Yeah. So you're hyped up for this show today.
Sure. Yeah. Who knows what's going to happen.
Donuts with dad.
Married, two kids, been in Atlanta since 96, right after the Olympics, and goodness gracious, I've had a chapter in corporate real estate, a chapter in ministry at North Point Community Church, and now this is sort of chapter three, kind of doing some meaningful things in work.
Absolutely. It's a good chapter.
I'll join it.
Yeah. Now, I first met you when the company prior to Authenticity, Meals with a Mission was really just getting off the ground.
Right.
And so let's talk a little bit about the history there.
Okay.
Like you left North Point specifically to start Meals with a Mission, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to that point in time. What led you to starting that? And then we'll get into the transition into Authenticity.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just looking at the nature of giving and people supporting causes. And if you just look across the landscape, you know, there's kind of people who do and people who don't.
Right.
Mm. And I was just looking at what's missing. And fundamentally, we're storytellers. That's how people have always connected. Mm-hmm. And my question was, are we getting to tell the story of the things that we give to? Mm. And, you know, unless you're like a professional fundraiser for an organization where you're like, hey, let's go get coffee because I want to tell you why you should write a check.
Right. I mean, when you say the things we give to, so nonprofits, causes.
People in need.
Right, people in need.
Whatever. And I just didn't see a mechanism for that. And a friend of mine, Jeff Schinneberger with Plywood People, who's here in Atlanta, tweeted a little construct one time from an investment conference. It was basically an investment construct, but 10 people, $100 a head, $1,000 investment.
Okay.
And I saw that, and I'm like, what if we did that with giving? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what would bring people together? And for some reason, a meal lodged in my mind. Mm-hmm. We don't think about it very often, but 3 meals a day is almost 1,100 meals in a year for each person.
Right.
Like, gosh, if we just took one of those and made the conversation about something we could give to.
Mm-hmm.
So then what we did was just said, you know, hey, everybody, let's do that. If you commit to gathering, we're all in for the same amount, but everybody has to bring a cause to share.
Okay.
And then we'll share the things that we care about, want to see advance in the world, some good we want to see. But at the end of that conversation, we'd vote, and the leading cause, the leading vote getter, would win the entire amount that's been pooled together.
So cool.
I know. I love that. I mean, so cool. Much.
Because when you think about giving, if you're not in the church world, it's going to be a nonprofit. It's going to be something you believe in, mm-hmm. something you want to give money to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a great way of bringing people together that have that heart anyway and letting them tell that story. That sense of community starts around a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we just talk anyway and share stories anyway. And so so that got off the ground.
Yeah.
And take us from there.
Well, we got a little bit of media coverage, and I talked about what work teams could do with this.
Right.
And just fundamentally connecting. That was what the cool part was. They were these groups were doing amazing things in the community, but they were leaving going like, I learned so much about the people I had the conversation with.
Right.
And I've been fortunate to be on good teams in my work career. And once you've been on one, goodness gracious, are you passionate about trying to help others have that same experience. And I just knew, I'm like, wow, this is a great way to just connect with people.
Yes.
And anyway, we got a little bit of coverage. I got a phone call. What's your vision with from California? What's your vision for this with work teams?
So when you say work teams, what do you mean?
Just
employees, companies.
Yeah, yeah, employees.
Right? Because people listening in, a lot of us can relate so much because we've been in that organization. Mm-hmm. We've been in that work team where...
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. You know, we've got a United Way campaign. You know, everybody give on your next paycheck. Or and we've got the thermometer,
right,
that we're monitoring that. Or whatever mm-hmm. the large, you know, that the company has told everybody in the company, here's what we're giving to.
Right.
And this was not just a little different. This was a lot different. Because mm-hmm. those same work teams that the people from California are calling, they're asking, like, how can our company or our team do this?
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with those other efforts. They've served and done amazing work for a really long time. I just felt like it was a space that we haven't innovated in quite some time.
Innovated in what way?
I'm kind of getting into some of the questions here. But when you look at the rise of crowdfunding, mm-hmm. Kickstarter, Indiegogo, all that kind of stuff, the cool thing about those platforms is people get to vote. Yep. It gives them voice, and I want to see this advance in the world.
And ownership.
Yeah. And I was looking at that model mm-hmm. and going like, you know, voice. Gee, if a company wants to connect to the community, mm-hmm. who are they talking to?
Right.
You know, why would it come down from on high mm-hmm. or from a small conversation in a room?
Right.
Where do their employees live in the community? Well, now we got a construct that can bring them together and have a conversation. And so we could get some heart and passion in there in addition. Mm. And again, I don't want to badmouth the other efforts. They've done great work for a long time. We just need some new models in that space.
Well, that's the innovation you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which until you came along, I hadn't even thought about.
Mm.
Right. So Meals with a Mission, you get a call from California, you get some coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And then where does it go from there?
So the first thing we did, this was with Wells Fargo business unit.
Yeah.
A couple hundred people in the room. It's a statewide sort of award banquet or something like that.
Okay.
For a group. And the room just loved it. I mean, there were 20 tables, 10 people at a table. It took us about 30 minutes or so to have the conversation. Each person gets 2 or 3 minutes to share their cause. And then each group of 10 votes for the cause they want to support. And the company comes along and supports their choice. But the cool thing was, after the 12th of 20 tables shared about how much it meant to them, like the meeting planner is like, we have got to move on.
We're
so long on time now.
Okay.
And that was because they were reacting because it was really powerful. It was genuine and they were involved in it.
So you had a large, uber large corporation like Wells Fargo that isn't coming to Meals with a Mission to decide what the whole company is doing, is simply a unit within that company.
Right.
And creating that sense of community. And that's why those tables were so passionate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And so we learned from that. We've done several engagements with them with some other companies. And we just listened and learned at first, like, what's the behavior? What are you looking for?
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully they're asking great questions because their biggest thing was like, how can we scale this? This is great if you're in the room. How could we, you know, disperse this through our company?
Okay.
And The other thing was for them, like Meals with a Mission started out as grassroots.
Sure.
It sounds a little bit like a nonprofit and Meals on Wheels.
Right.
And people would say, who gets the meal?
Right.
And how many meals do you want us to deliver to seniors? I'm more like, that's the method. That's not what we're doing.
Right.
But from that listening, we knew, one, if we had a conversation platform that could enable a team to have this conversation anywhere, anytime.
Mm-hmm. Platform meaning software.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, if we, does that name reflect what it needs to be? It works well in grassroots because that's where they're actually doing it.
Right.
But for companies, that's where the authentic community kind of came together, because every company already has a community of employees.
Right.
They've got a community of customers, and they're actually physically in a community.
Right. And they're doing work. They're doing some good. They're getting feedback, and they're able to check that off their list that, hey, we're in our community. We're involved. We know what's going on, but in reality, and I know we might be jumping ahead a little bit, the numbers don't support that. The numbers don't show that the company and the employees in the company are actually behind it.
Yeah,
definitely the 80-20 rule, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of things there. One, looking at that function, which, you know, corporate social responsibility or citizenship or whatever's kind of what it's called in the corporate world.
Right.
Looking at that function, and it's really ascended, especially over the last 10 years or so. There's some amazing stuff that's being done. Mm. And a lot of that is because of demand. Customers, different demographics are so much more cause aware than before. But
do you know why that is, or do you have a guess?
Just because of all the different communication channels that we have now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so much easier to communicate, connect, that sort of thing. I think everybody's always, you know, wanted to do good in the world around them.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to get more messages out there and then to also communicate impact,
sure,
I think has raised awareness. And then a lot of companies have gotten really smart, too,
right,
that saying, you know, hey, we employ people and we're in a community. If the community's struggling, the business doesn't usually do well either.
No, it's true.
And trying to connect all that and go, okay, how do we as a company treat our people well, treat the people who produce our products well,
right?
And also connect and say, you know, hey, these are values of ours too,
right?
And we want you to know that and have voice.
And I think there's a big push coming out of colleges now. Students that are graduating the last 10 years, and certainly even now, are coming out with a different sense of, I want to make money, but man, I can make a difference. And I think it's easier to make a difference now because of digital and those platforms that exist. And what you're speaking to and what resonates with us is relational equity as a company exists for two reasons: to be loved and receive love, but then also to give it. And so this is supplying, we're going to get to authenticity, supplying the platform to give that love as a company or as a unit and feel like you're actually making a difference.
Right.
That's awesome. So you got the Meals with a Mission question all the time, right? Who are we feeding? How's that working? And so from a vision of an initial startup, that starts to change.
Mm-hmm.
Talk us through that.
It's more of a pivot. It's still the same heart, which is, you know, people go to work.
Right.
Let's let people connect. Because once people connect and they're more than just title and role, some really amazing things begin to happen. And but anyway, I knew, like, you know, as emotional and as powerfully as people were responding to it, I'm like, if it's going to live in the business world, it's got to be legitimate. We've got to solve something legitimate.
Right.
And what I was looking at was just two, you know, any business person, what are your two most important audiences? And they're going to answer our employees and our customers.
Absolutely.
And we were just looking, okay, if that's the case, what's the state of the relationship? And Gallup does, you know, huge worldwide survey. In the 2013 State of the American Workforce.
That's, you know, a survey that exists.
Yeah. 70% of employees are disengaged.
Okay.
And that's a painful number. And
that's a large number.
Well, in America, that equates to about 110 million people.
Yeah.
So 70%. And that just means, you know, do you get the best of them? It doesn't always be, it's not always like you're always on all the time.
Right.
But do you get the best of their talent, skills, passion, and the stuff that they're doing and the people that they work with? And to see that number, 70% disengaged, like, okay, maybe the relationship with employees isn't going as great as we'd all want.
Right.
And then looking at some customer research, there's a couple of things that are out there. That one being that 80% of customers mm-hmm. say they wish companies did more in the community, mm-hmm. which is painful if you're kind of in the CSR space, because they spend a lot of money trying, but because they don't have good data mm-hmm. and they don't have it's sort of by decree what will happen.
Right.
They're missing out on the passion. And a lot of people just see it as, you know, oh, that's kind of a hollow thing. I know you'll put some money around it, get the press release out, and you'll have a new message for us in 6 months.
Yeah. I mean, I might be jumping ahead, but I mean, also the authenticity of those companies that are doing something in the company or in the community, mm-hmm. they're not authentic about it. So maybe they are trying to do good, but...
But they're not genuine.
Exactly. Right. So people can read that.
Yeah, it's just all for show.
Because they have to do mm-hmm. it or... So I think that was a huge part of that number as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, and that, we just felt like it wasn't that people weren't being earnest in their efforts. We just didn't have a good model. Mm. And that's just a passion for me. I'm like, gosh, you know, if we could... get a good model out there, people would come to it because it would be easy for them and it'd be meaningful.
Well, sure, because it's that dichotomy of in a young startup with not a lot of employees, so 20 or less employees, that engagement is going to be a lot higher than 20%, right? You said 80% are disengaged.
Yeah, 70%.
Right? Or 70% are disengaged. So you're going to have 30. Well, in a small company, that's probably not the case. So the larger the growth, then people just disengage relationally. I mean, that's on our website. That's why we exist. We believe that. So, but the dichotomy there is the larger the company, the better the ability to actually make a difference in the community, right? The larger the bottom line, the larger they have, the more money they have to spend. But now these employees they don't care, right? So now what spurred Authenticity to happening? I know you went to Praxis.
Yeah.
Tell us about that process.
Praxis is an accelerator program, national thing that started a few years ago. And I'm trying to think of how many of us there were. There were 12 of us, 12 organizations. And this is a very early idea when I had it then.
Right.
Basically, I was just listening and kind of like, you know, hey, we've got something people are responding to, which is great, which is evidencing that there's a need here and we're meeting it. I'm not sure what our strategy is yet.
Okay.
And
so many small business owners at startup can identify with that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're right there with you.
Right. Yeah. But the key word is listening. You know, you've got to listen. You can't just say, oh, you want that? Too bad. Well, I'm going to do it this way, you know?
Right.
Or change when everybody says something.
Right.
To change. Yeah.
And in listening, the main thing people kept saying was more and scale. Mm-hmm. How could more of our people experience this?
Right.
And that led us to develop the technology behind this so that when the conversation happens, so we can do, it's a in the cloud platform, no software or anything like that.
Great.
The company has a private network piece, and basically it just equips any group of 6 to 10 people.
Yeah.
Work that way. It could be a big, huge meeting of several hundreds or thousands or whatever.
Right.
What we want to do is have these conversations ongoing.
Right.
And disperse throughout a company because it records the cause data, what people are sharing about, what gets chosen, that sort of thing. It's all anonymous. You know, we're not tying that back to a person.
Sure.
But a thing it can do is give you a pulse of your workforce.
Which
basically, it feeds into an enterprise dashboard where you can kind of thin slice the data and go like, you know, what are our Southeast stores? What do they care about?
Yeah.
And each experience has a survey attached to it as well. So they're sharing what they're learning about their teammates. They're sharing how they feel about the company, all this kind of stuff. And it's ongoing. So you can lead from that.
Right.
Versus a lot of other stuff where, you know, you do the annual survey, which, you know, you look, it's a snapshot, but it's rather dated.
Sure.
This gives you stuff that's updating in real time going like, you know, what's going on there?
And it starts with a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just from the company down. It's not, here's a memo from the CEO. This is what we're doing. It literally goes out to the different units within the company. And somebody in that that unit is responsible for starting that conversation.
Correct. Yeah. And we've got all the tools to equip. So teams self-execute this now all the time.
So what's happened since you got the platform? I mean, what doors are opening? What companies are listening at this point?
Well,
you can talk about.
Yeah, we're in talks with some that would be pretty exciting, but we're still doing some stuff with Wells, and we were with Thrive Coffee this week on Monday.
Yeah.
What's fun is just watching the connection teams. I like to tell the stories of the reaction when people are going like, you know, I've worked with this person for 7 years,
right,
and I just learned more about them in 20 minutes.
Hello.
Then all that time I'm going like, I wonder if HR, onboarding, all those folks would like to know about stuff like that.
I'm telling you, that happens all the time. It's just crazy. And I don't know if we're getting off topic with this, but Vane and I were at an event yesterday with Plywood People actually talking about mission drift. Mm-hmm. And I think that's exactly what happens within those companies. They get off mission, and people, they just hire people because they need to meet a need, and they're wanting to make more money and hit that line. It's just crazy. So that's how you can work next to someone for years and not know that they've got three kids, you know? And it's like, what?
Yeah, scale definitely enables some very good things, but the thing that it harms after a while is just simply just relationship and connection, unless you're intentional about it.
Yes.
And we knew, hey, we don't need to get super cerebral about this.
Right.
We just need something really simple, a team connecting, 30-minute conversation, few times during the year.
Finger snaps? Can
we
do that?
Yeah, absolutely. Preach.
Where are the sound effects?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I told you I wanted that laugh track.
That's great.
Yeah, and so, you know, as a company gets bigger, the need to get smaller accelerates.
You just have to be intentional about fostering the community.
Yeah. So let's get a little bit more specific about just the offerings. What's available to a company? And by the way, we're talking to Scott Tanksley of Authentity, and the website is just that, authentity.com.
Mm-hmm.
Might as well spell it because everybody's going to butcher it. I butchered it. A-U-T-H-E-N-I-T-Y. Did I get it?
Close.
T-I-T-Y.
Yeah, there you go.
You lost spelling bee for the day.
We're playing spelling bee now.
No vacation for you.
You know, the cool thing is if you struggle with the name and you get it right, you remember it. So that's okay.
It's true. But it's authentic community. And if you just
no better way to learn than from your mistakes.
Right. A-U-T-H-E-N-T-I-T-Y. Authentity.com. And so if you pull up that website, you know, there are going to be some offerings. But can you walk us through what that looks like, Scott?
Yeah. So basically there's two things. There's the standalone sort of team conversation. And, you know, some companies can take advantage of the data platform if they're big enough and they get enough inputs. There's enough of those conversations going on. There's other companies, like you said, some of the smaller ones where it's just like, you know, we just want to have this conversation in our office a few times a year.
Right.
So we have the standalone team offering that we can do. And that's often a pilot for us too with some larger companies. But then there's the data offering. You know, if you have enough people and this conversation can be dispersed all throughout your company, it's going to give you really valuable insight.
Absolutely.
And that's what we've designed this to do, is it to be an updating dynamic dashboard around this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not only engaging your employees, because the topic of conversation is the community, customers care too. You know, your employees leave and go home and their neighbors with your customers.
Right.
And they're sharing the community. So it's an interesting way to connect in a real way, where basically you can just ask people to crowdsource more good with you.
Absolutely.
Like, are people who live in the community next to you really care about this? These are some causes that are near and dear to us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can ask the same questions. What about you? And start to work in areas of shared interest.
Well, and then every nonprofit struggling out there to be heard, right? Because they all need money, they all need support. And so is there a back end to this once the community gets on board? Where do you see this going as far as nonprofits adopting this kind of venture?
Well, there's a couple of interesting things, just seeing it from the grassroots side too. It's an actual conversation, so causes are being shared, and it's a one-to-many model. If there were 10 and six of us or 10 of us right here, you know, we'd all get 2 or 3 minutes to talk about a cause we cared about. Not only would I get to know Van and Taylor better and all that kind of thing, but you're telling me about an organization that I probably didn't know about beforehand or how it impacts you personally. And for the nonprofit community, like, goodness gracious, to have peers telling peers about your work and why they love it.
Mm-hmm. That's good, powerful.
It's a pretty good donor development strategy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But then for the audience, the other participants who are hearing these things, they get such a great positive impression because it's personal and they know why someone cares about the work, and you're getting an advocate telling you why they're effective. The next time they run into your organization, they're so much more likely to go, you know, oh, okay, I know exactly. You know, I've got a friend who told me about their work.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping to do, is because these stories are being shared, raise more awareness and mm-hmm. help people to be more generous and to realize, like, wow, every little bit does help.
Right. To completely stereotype and put, you know, pigeonhole a demographic for good, bad, or indifferent, there is a demographic called millennials that, you know, forever get talked down to, like they don't have a voice, and there's just this people group that need
don't
to learn how to grow up.
Yeah,
but they're the ones making the biggest
Thank
difference.
Thank you, Scott. He's like, I don't know why.
Well, they're the ones making the biggest difference and have the voice. They understand technology. They mm-hmm. understand the platforms. They understand crowdsourcing and this social good. So, and we, you know, we lean on Taylor a lot for that kind of voice.
Mm-hmm.
So in that community, not for any other reason, just to have a name in the millennial community, Taylor. Like, what you've been involved in small corporations, you've been involved in large ones.
Mm-hmm.
What does this do for the sense of belonging?
Everything, honestly. I think that it makes you feel valued and on the same page and same level as, like, you, Van, or you, Scott. I definitely, like you said, I've done a lot of different work with a lot of different companies, large organizations, startups, nonprofits, and there's just... It's so interesting to see how they see me lower. And I understand people have more experience than me and things like that. But to be talked to on the same level, I think, is very important for anyone, mm-hmm. you know, whether you're 50 or 22.
Right.
So something like authenticity.
Authenticity.
Okay, when you try to read it, it's like, let's go slow. But then when you're actually... Okay.
Authentity. We're going to make a game.
Authentity.
Out of this.
No, we're not. Because I'd be drunk.
Game.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Because I'd be done. What you're doing, I think, is just going to create for everyone, not just millennials,
right.
A sense of community and genuinity. Is that a word? Or can we play that?
It is now.
It is now.
So, well, we've seen it real time. You know, I've
yeah.
seen a national, you know, top level corporate executive. And a mid-20-year-old.
And they get along.
Connect over the conversation because it's a human conversation.
Right.
You're simply asking, what is it that you care about?
Mm. Yeah.
And what that fosters within a community when teams just see each other as people and how they can appreciate starting from there first.
Mm.
And then, you know, all the things that they do
yeah.
or whatever. But who they are is a powerful conversation.
Because I want to know that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like we help you guys, I mean, you guys help us immensely as well. Mm-hmm. So
the old people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, the oldies. The baby boomers. No, I'm kidding. I know you guys aren't the baby boomer generation. No. But my
the
dad.
The vintage generation.
Yeah. Vintage. Yeah.
Gen
it's
X,
so hipster.
Gen X.
Right. Yeah. Like my dad is a baby boomer generation, and I learned so much from him.
Sure.
And that those values should not be pushed under the table, under the rug. You know, we really should recognize all of those.
Well, when we were designing this, we were looking at the kind of the advent of millennials, or whatever you want me to call that group.
Yeah, whatever you want to say.
looking at that and going, you know, hey, in 2020, they're going to be 50% of the workforce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're the largest demographic in world history.
Yeah. Yes.
And it was funny, I was just giving a talk recently, a little bit older crowd, and I go, I don't understand why everybody's bashing millennials. I don't get it.
Right.
Oh, gosh, here
and
it
I
comes.
Said, no, I said, how many of us would like to go back and talk to our 20-year-old, maybe early 30-year-old selves and go, hey, it's just going to take a while. You got things to learn, but do not lose the passion
Mm-mm.
and the aspirations you have to make a difference.
Mm. That just gave
and
me chills.
The
yeah.
whole crowd
I got
was,
chills too.
Right?
I thought it was
I'm
just
serious.
Cold.
No, that was so good. Oh, my
you
gosh.
You all of us.
That was
well,
good. No, really, that was
cool
so good.
The cool thing was because of the tools that are available these mm-hmm. days, the characteristics of millennials
mm-hmm.
I'm very expressive,
yes.
always had social media, always have a voice.
Yes.
extremely collaborative. Mm. The world's smaller because of that. Mm-hmm. And they see injustice somewhere else that's not their state, country, whatever.
Right.
And they respond to it. Mm. And they feel connected. And then, you know, because of that, very cause motivated.
Yeah.
And this gives a way in a work environment to touch on all of those things. Everybody gets a voice in this model. They decide together and they connect well through that. And it actually does do work in the community. It helps causes.
Yeah. Can I play one side of the equation, though?
Okay.
I don't know if you get this question or not. So I've got a voice. I'm passionate about my project, but it doesn't get picked. Where do you go with that? I mean, how does that not add to the angst of I'm not being heard?
It's really easy. One, we mock people and said no fights have ever broken out at work, so let's not have that. But it's just a moment in time, and the conversation is what's cool. So you come out of that with a few causes that day, but we continually see now, because people know, like, you know, I never knew that. Mm. I would love to go get coffee. Let's talk some more.
Right.
And then somebody else is like, well, you know, I'm actually volunteering there this weekend too. I'll go with you.
Right.
And the company's not having to cheerlead all that.
Right.
They can now come behind it and go, how can we support that?
Yeah.
And it's in the database that says, here's how passionate I am.
Right.
And you've got the numbers behind that.
Correct. You can see all that. But the other piece too is once something's known, then you can act on it. So everybody gets a chance to share their cause. And sometimes you see, you know, a group that hits many of them.
Right.
And so a cause might win that table vote or that group vote. But connecting with one other person who's like, I really resonated with what you shared. Well, that may not win the group vote in the moment.
Right.
But it wins because, you know, it gets more activity afterwards.
For sure.
And I'm a big Patrick Lencioni fan, Five Dysfunctions of a Team.
Okay.
And there was a great statement I've always remembered coming out of that. It's like rational people don't have to always get their way. They just have to know they've been heard.
I agree.
So we're given the power of letting people be heard.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, to get the mic, you know, to be at the meeting, to have that voice and that to connect with one other person. Because that's community, right? Two people, common cause.
Right.
And all of a sudden you can start something. So, I mean, I get excited like where this could go and what causes can come out of this. Because two people connected, right? And they see a need, and they go, and they do, because those voices are getting heard. But this, from a scalability standpoint, now that this is reaching not just the small business, this is reaching the large business, there's a network of people and yes men and no men that you have to work through to get something like this implemented, right? So to those that are listening out there, how do they get a hold of you and say, hey, we want to have a conversation, because Fortune 500 companies are great, but there's a bureaucracy and red tape around that as well.
Yeah.
And so as a small company, you just need that win.
Yeah.
You need somebody adopting that, implementing that, and running with it so that you have data as well. So how do people contact you? How do they get a hold of you?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you made that distinction too. It's fun to have some of the big conversations because you think of the number of lives that can be affected. You know, working with businesses right here in Atlanta or wherever where – our last two engagements were they heard the concept, they said yes, and we executed in less than 10 days.
Wow.
And so it's fun.
There's nothing to install. There's nothing to...
No, we're ready to go. I mean, we learned. spent a couple of years learning what we needed to do and what we needed to build.
So we're not having to get around firewalls. We're not having to get around security.
No.
This is a website they go to
and
they get started.
And then we provide all the reporting. Yeah.
Wow.
But anyway, so
that's so powerful.
We if you follow us on Twitter, we're Authenity Co.
Yep.
And
was Authenity taken?
Yes.
Stop.
Never been used. It's got like two tweets and it's 6 years old.
Oh no.
Yeah, come on, Twitter, let
we
it
need
go.
To find that
let
person.
It go.
Don't sing it, Taylor.
No.
Don't sing it.
What sing what?
Anyway.
You know.
Van's got a daughter too, it's probably stuck in his head.
Oh, yeah.
If you go to our Twitter feed, we've got a contact form just for this show. Like if you heard today, and so
I retweeted it.
Good.
Yeah, you can there. You can go to our website. At the bottom is a contact form. You can email info@authenity.com, or you can call us if you want to. 404-267-1992. That's also on the website.
And you guys have your LinkedIn company page up as well, which I think more and more companies need to take advantage of. That's a huge platform.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's adapting to change. Use your technology, and this is a perfect example of it. You know, you've got to do it.
Absolutely.
And we, you know, this conversation's not finished. We're still learning, and there's implications and ways to use this that we haven't even thought of yet, because it's a conversation tool.
Right.
And so this is one application right now, but we're really interested in folks who, if this piques their interest in some way, they're like, have you thought about, because that's how we got to this point.
Right.
People going, I wish, and have you thought about, what if we could, and we just kept listening and building.
Well, that's you adopting that community. Right, I mean, where people listen to one another. Mm-hmm. I mean, whether you've got an idea, whether you've got something you can improve on, you know, now that you've got the development behind it, and you guys are in the building, right, with all the development in the world at Atlanta Tech Village.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where your office is located.
Yeah.
And what comes out of that, talk about an incubator for nonprofits, for entrepreneurs, for development and community. What they've accomplished at Atlanta Tech Village, you're in a perfect spot for that, and so many companies around there.
It's fun to be in there, you know, and it's a lot of technology companies, really small, and you can talk about culture and stuff, and people kind of turn their heads like, you know, I'm coding, man, I'm sorry.
Right.
Whatever. But it was fun because we were talking there recently, and it's just like, you know, yeah, small right now, but if you catch the success you're looking for, you know, we know all the, when big companies come in or we hear folks like, wow, whatever.
Yeah.
They're always talking about culture, team, all that kind of stuff, because success brings people.
Right.
And that brings relationships.
Yep.
And so it's like, go hard after the product service you're developing right now. But, you know, maybe we can come along with you when you catch that success and people start coming on board.
Yeah, and they create a great environment there. Another great environment, and I know you have a heart for it because you're on their board, is the Hive gathering. And so you'll be there on May 13th at Rome and Dunwoody. You spoke at the last one, and
they were desperate.
They were not desperate.
He's so silly.
It was one.
It was such a good presentation. Yeah. I loved it.
Very memorable. Yes. Resonated with so many people in the room because you were just brutally honest.
Yeah.
With hey,
how
guys,
this goes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Startups are tough. Mm-hmm. I mean, they just are. And so, but Hive gathering. Can you talk to that a little bit? What that's like, and why that room, as it, not to overuse the word, is such an incubator for companies like yours.
Well, it says it right there in their tagline, no lonely leaders. And if you're pushing forward, trying to do something, it's lonely territory because so many people don't or won't. And fear holds them back or all sorts of things. And when you're doing that, it's just it can be very isolating.
Right.
And what I love about Hive is they've been so intentional at those gatherings to connect people. And experiencing a few times and just it's like, you know, wow. You learn a ton, but the conversations that you get in, not only that day, but ongoing from there. And so I just appreciate the heart that they have, and they're familiar with the territory and know, like, if you've got an idea and you're trying to figure out, or maybe you already have, you've already jumped into the idea, it gets lonely.
Sure.
And you need to have other people to go, I'm kind of thinking about that too. Maybe we could connect and spur each other on, or other folks who are doing stuff like, I'm really struggling with this. I know this much. I don't have any idea what to do about this part, but it requires all of me.
Right.
And
that's usually where people fall into.
Yeah.
I'm really good at this, but I'm really struggling with this. So
and
how can you help?
Yeah.
You know?
And they'll be like, I've faced that. And you know, we came up with a great solution.
Exactly.
I'd be happy to share.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's, you know, we've stated it before. It's one of the reasons relational equity exists. But it is for that sense of giving the hand up and not just a hand out. And that's why this show exists, is for companies like yours to come on, talk about themselves. So, you know, we put it to our guests every week. Like after this week, you know, we hope you can continue to support the guests that are coming on the show and share. And we can see just on Twitter that so many people are tuning in right now and listening to you because of the relationships that you have. And so that's why this platform exists. So as you think of other companies that you want to have a voice like that, let us know. We'll get them on the air and you can come back with them if you want to. I mean, this is so good. And as you get those wins, bring those companies in and let's have them talk about what a difference this is making for their culture and their community. So I'm so glad you came on today.
Thank you.
No.
Awesome. I have a quick question off of what you're saying with the hand up. Did anyone in your career, specifically Scott, give you a hand up that you want to talk about? I always feel like there's those pivotal moments in our career that just helps you so much. And it just seems like you've had so much success. And with this chapter of life that you're in, I'm just very interested to actually know how you got there. If there was a certain someone or I don't know. It just is really cool.
I'm trying to think of how to answer that. Yeah.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, it's like an award presentation where all of a sudden you're like, I have so many people to thank. And then Krista starts rolling.
I need my notes. Yeah, I need my notes.
She starts rolling music. And yeah, exactly. You're pulling me away from the mic.
Exactly.
I've just had the fortune to be on really good teams and that were doing cool stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But who you were doing it with was really, really important. And then there's some great thought leaders that sort of shaped Authenity and some stuff that we've read in building this. But, if I start mentioning personal names,
I know they're like, why not me? Why you forgot me?
But,
just those environments that you've been in that have really, there's been people above you that you've really been influenced by. And like you said, just thankful to be on those teams that were very creative and thinking outside the box and really pushing your creativity to come up with ideas like this.
Yeah, you know, you only get one go around. Mm-hmm. So I feel like, man, how great if you get to enjoy the people you're doing stuff with. Mm-hmm. And if you can't yet, you know, what would keep you from making an effort to try to do that? And very grateful and shaped by the investment of so many into me time that now as an old guy like Van and I are, if there's a way we can continue to foster that, because we're just the accumulated investment of many who went before us and shaped us and encouraged us.
Yeah. As you get older, you appreciate that.
Yeah. You guys are like so wise. I need it's your old wisdom.
Well, thanks again, Scott. And again, as we go out, it's authenticity.com. Please check out that site, the platform, and get in touch with Scott if you have any questions. So how do we do, Miss Producer?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo! You guys did amazing. This is music to my ears. I talk about adapting to change and teamwork and how important it is almost every day or every Friday on Atlanta Film Talk. And I tell you, it's a struggle. It's like you said, it's lonely. It's a lot harder to try to teach people and sit there and babysit. You know, it's easier just to, if you can't find the people, then you got to do it yourself. So this is an awesome, awesome thing that you're doing.
Thanks.
And we need to bring this into the film world.
There you go.
It's a great way to connect people, I'll tell you that.
Well, thanks again. And I guess you'll take us out.
Yes, I will. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, everyone.